Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Hey, while you're here and we're getting started, I want to welcome everybody. My name's Fritz. If we haven't met yet before, oh, wow, that is intimidating. thank you. So glad you're here. We want to welcome all of our guests. We want to welcome everybody joining at Lighthouse Online. So glad you're with us today, wherever it is that you're joining. And then we want to welcome all of the women in the room today here on Mother's Day. Can we just welcome all of our guests, our ladies, everybody online? We're so grateful for you. Thank you for being here. I hope today is an awesome day for absolutely everybody. Here's what I know from the scriptures is that God's plan for you, if you're in Christ, even if you're not a follower of Jesus Christ, this is God's plan for you. God's plan for you is to grow spiritually. It's for you to mature in your faith and to grow. In fact, we expect growth and maturity. It's just something that's built into the way that we're wired and the way that we think about our world. If you planted a maple tree seed in the ground and nothing happened, you would think that something went wrong, right? Because you would expect like a seedling to pop out of the ground. And if that didn't happen, if it didn't begin to grow and to mature and to develop, if you didn't have a tree and trunks and branches and leaves, if you didn't have your own syrup from your backyard to enjoy, right? Like you would know something went wrong. Why? Well, it didn't grow. It didn't mature. Right? It's just wired into it. Like if an infant stayed an infant, as much as some moms and dads might really like that and appreciate that, but we would know that something unusual is going on because growth and maturity are normal. We expect them. We anticipate them in every area of our life. And here's what I want to tell you. Growth and maturity as a follower of Jesus Christ is normal too. Actually, we should anticipate as followers of Jesus Christ, that we grow and that we mature. So that in itself begs a question, right? What does spiritual maturity look like? Well, let's take a look at Ephesians chapter 4, because it gives us an idea of what maturity looks like. And it says this. And it says, there we go. Hey, that's right. Just wake up. Okay, Ephesians 4, it says this. This is to continue until all of us are united in our faith and in our knowledge about God's Son. Now, I want you to check this out. Until we become mature, until we measure up to Christ, who is the standard. You notice those two parallel phrases there. Until we become mature, until we measure up to Christ, who is the standard. This is what spiritual maturity is. Spiritual maturity is this: becoming like Jesus in the way that we act, think, and feel. That's spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is becoming just like Jesus in the way that we act, in the way that we think, in the way that we feel. What Ephesians 4 is saying is Jesus is the measuring stick by which we compare ourselves to in all things, okay? So spiritual growth and maturity, it's not about becoming better than you used to be. That's not spiritual maturity necessarily. Spiritual maturity is not becoming like your pastor. It's not becoming like your friend or your favorite athlete or musician or actor. That's not spiritual maturity. That's not growth. Spiritual maturity is becoming just like Jesus in the way that we act, think, and feel. God wants you to become just like Jesus. Now, about how long do you think that takes? Oh, yeah, if you're joining online, maybe put in the chat. How long do you think it takes to become like Jesus? Like a week? Like, is that enough time to become like Jesus? Maybe like one semester of small groups? Like, is that enough to become like Jesus? You're being ridiculous. Okay, like a year? A decade? How long do you think it takes to become just like Jesus? I will tell you how long it takes. God will spend the entire rest of your life on this planet helping you to become just like Jesus. It'll take the entire rest of your life. And you won't attain to that goal until you enter into eternity in heaven. That's how long it takes, right? Every day for the rest of your life, God will shape you to become more and more like Jesus. In fact, here's what you need to understand. Salvation, the whole point of salvation is to become like Jesus. That's the whole point of it, right? A lot of people think, well, it's just about being forgiven. Well, it's just about making it to heaven. No, all of those are the tools. Those are the pathways to become more like Jesus. Becoming like him is the goal of our lives. Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For God knew his people in advance, and he chose them to become like his son. You should underline that phrase, circle it, so that his son would be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And so before the creation of the world, God decided that we would be saved through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross and out of the grave so that we could become just like Jesus. That is the goal of spiritual growth and maturity. God wants you to mature in your faith so that you become just like Jesus. One of the things I love about this passage is it talks about brothers and sisters because God has actually given us a family, right? The church. He's given us brothers and sisters that we actually help one another grow and become just like Jesus. No one grows spiritually in a vacuum, right? You don't do that by yourself. You don't go off to the desert and you live alone and that's how you become like Jesus. In fact, the best way you become like Jesus is in community with other brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, right? You need help to grow spiritually. I need help to grow spiritually. I have had help every step of my journey, right? The Holy Spirit used Gary and Debbie to help me see for the first time who Jesus is and why I needed him in my life. Different pastors throughout my seasons of walking with Jesus have taught me the Bible to help me understand truth from Scripture. My wife, Christina, I have not learned more about grace from any other human being in the world than my wife, Christina. She has taught me that up front and close. My friend Cameron years ago helped me to discover what one-on-one discipleship can really look like in real life. Larry Sewell and Don Basel have taught me more about spiritual leadership in our last 10 years together than most of my time in ministry combined. And so I have had many people help me to grow spiritually and to become more like Jesus because I need people to help me do that. You need people to help you grow spiritually as well. And here's the kicker. Other people need you. Other people need you to help them grow spiritually. In fact, this is the way God designed it. This is the way God put it into place. So if you brought a Bible with you, I want to invite you to open up to Colossians chapter 1. And we're going to read a couple passages out of there. And we're going to talk about three ways that you can help others grow and mature in their faith too. So Colossians chapter 1, Colossians in the New Testament. It's after Philippians. If you get far enough, like into the Thessalonians, go forward just a little bit. But Colossians chapter 1, verses 28 and 29 are what we're going to be talking about today. And you know what? This is a pretty short set of passages. So if we could, let's read this one out loud together, starting with, we proclaim him. Are you ready? Go. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. So Paul's writing this letter to a group of Christians, and what he did was he, in these passages right here, is he is revealing what how he helped people grow spiritually. He's revealing discipleship for this group so that they have an idea of what it looks like as well. And so let's look at three ways that you and I can help other people grow spiritually and become more like Jesus. And here's the first one. Share the story of Jesus. Share the story of Jesus. Paul starts out verse 28. He says, we proclaim him, meaning Jesus. He's saying, listen, we talk about Jesus. That's the starting place. That is the central aspect. If you're going to help somebody to grow spiritually, if you're going to help somebody to mature and become more like Jesus Christ, it starts with Jesus. He is the foundation. He is everything. If you bypass Jesus, you're actually not helping people to grow spiritually. You're not helping to mature them to become more like Jesus. Everywhere that Paul went, he just talked about Jesus. He wrote a letter to some friends in the city of Corinth, and he said this. He goes, listen, Jews demand signs, Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, right? Some people really want to dial into miracles. Other people want to argue about philosophy. Some people want to go deep into science and rationale. Other people want to talk about finances and emotions and relationships, and all of that's fine. And Paul says, here's what I do. I talk about Jesus. It's not that those other things are unimportant or they don't matter, but they all find their place within and underneath the person of Jesus Christ. Why would we start with talking about Jesus, sharing the story of Jesus? Well, Jesus is the only one who forgives sins. No one else can do that. Jesus is the only one who can grant eternal life through faith in him. Jesus is the only way to enjoy a restored relationship with the Father. Jesus is the only one that actually changes lives for all of eternity. And so, of course, we would talk about him. He's the centerpiece. He's everything. And if you've met Jesus and you've experienced his work in your life, you understand that and you get that. And you go, of course we would talk about Jesus. That makes sense. And so talking about the weather and talking about sports, talking about books, even talking about your church or your small group, that's fine. That's all fine. That's not wrong. That's not evil. That's not bad. What I'm saying is if you really want to help people mature and grow in your faith, grow in their faith, talk about Jesus. Talk about him. Share his story. And it's actually easier than you might think. One of the easiest ways that I know of to talk about Jesus is simply to just ask questions. Just ask questions. Right? I think a lot of times people get in their minds that they're going to find this break in the conversation. And, you know, they're like talking about the stock market or sports. And you go, yeah, you know what I like about Jesus is? And you're like, well, we're not even there. Like, you know, talking about Jesus the pitcher for Los Angeles? Like, what are you talking about, right? No, but you could just ask questions, right? You're with a coworker, you're with a friend, you're with somebody you know, and you just go, hey, you ever think about spiritual things? Like, what do you think about that? Like, what happens after life on in this world? Like just asking questions like that, right? And you go, well, what? Those are really big questions. You know, another question could be something like this. Hey, what's been bringing you joy lately? What's been making you happy? What has been stressing you out? What's been weighing on your mind a lot lately? Right? And they begin to share. They start talking about what's going on. And what that does is that opens up a door to go, oh, yeah, man, let me tell you about something that's been bringing me joy recently. Or I've been stressed out about this, and here's how I've been handling it. But you can just ask questions, and then you can talk about who Jesus is, right? You can just talk about who he is. Like, if you're going to talk about Jesus, talk about who he is. That's where I would start. Who is he? In fact, right, we're reading from Colossians chapter 1. If you go just a few verses beforehand, this is what Paul does. He just spends time talking about Jesus. Here's what he says. The Son is the image of the invisible God, right? He's just talking about Jesus. And he goes on to spend the next few verses just really clearly painting the picture of who Jesus is, that everything was created through him and for him and by him. And he says that actually the fullness of God was pleased to dwell in him. And so he's making the point that Jesus is in and of himself God, right? And Paul just talks about God. The reason, he just talks about Jesus, and the reason he does that is because if you want to see God, and if you want to know God, you actually have to look at Jesus. Jesus is God in the flesh. He's not a version of God. He's not a percentage of God. He's not kind of like God. Jesus is God. And so you can talk about him in that framework. That this is who he is. He's remarkable. He's incredible. And not only can you talk about who Jesus is, but you can talk about what he has done, right? To just talk about what he's accomplished, you can discuss his perfect life, that he lived on this earth without sin. Who has done that? No one. You can talk about his perfect death, which pays the penalty for your sin and for my sin and for all people of all time throughout the whole world. You can talk about his resurrection and how he's the only one who has defeated death in that kind of a way. Like no one else even comes close to that. And actually, because of his resurrection, everything else rings true, and it matters. If there's no resurrection, nothing else matters. But because there is a resurrection of Christ, everything he says matters. And it's true. And so you talk about what he has done. If you read through the book of Acts and you get to chapter 2, so really early in, and you want to see like how you could talk about Jesus and especially his work, his death, and his resurrection, Peter does it remarkably, Acts chapter 2. One of the clearest, most succinct ways to talk about what Jesus has accomplished and sharing his story and his work. And so go there later this week and take a look at that. But he just spends time talking about Jesus in front of this group of people. You know what happens at the end of that? Acts 2:37. Peter's words pierced their hearts. He was just talking about Jesus. And it hit them at the depths of their being. And they said to him and to the other apostles, what do we do? Right? Just simply talking about Jesus, who he is, what he's accomplished, opened the hearts of a group of people who initially thought there was like craziness going on in that moment. And in fact, Peter talking about Jesus led to 3,000 people coming to faith and being baptized in that moment. He helped them grow spiritually. He helped them become more like Jesus. How? Talking about Jesus. That's all he did. He's just talking about Jesus, right? And so you can talk about who he is. You can talk about what he's done. Here's another thing you can talk about, is you can talk about what Jesus is doing in your life now. What's he doing in your life? How's he growing you? How's he maturing you? How's he causing you to become more like him? And so one of those things, you could share your story of how you came to faith. God has been using that tool for literally thousands of years of just sharing the story of how it is it came to faith. You know, how do you know that you said yes to Jesus and he saved you and forgave you? What was that prod? Did you pray a prayer? Were you in a church? I was talking to somebody this week and they came to faith. It was like in a car in a parking lot. It's like, that's a great story. I know other people who came to faith at home. I know there's some kids literally in this building today. They've come to faith in the kids' wing of this building here that we're in right now. And so it's like, man, to talk about your story of how you put your faith in Jesus is really helpful. But sometimes you don't even have to tell your whole story, right? What you could do is you could share a prayer that God answered recently. Man, I've been praying for this thing for a while. And God answered it. You know what's crazy, though? He didn't answer it the way I was asking him. He answered it way better, way different, something I was never thinking about. Share that story. Share about maybe a way that he's changing you or he's growing you in your life. Maybe there's a new way that you're trusting him. There's so many ways to talk about what Jesus is doing in your life today. But the main thing is, if you're going to help people grow and become more like Jesus, it just starts with talking about him. All right, so share the story of Jesus. Here's a second way that you can help people grow spiritually and become more mature and become more like Jesus. Read the Bible together. Read the Bible. And read it together. Read it with other people. This is what Paul was saying. We read that passage in verse 28 earlier. Where we proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom. Okay, so he's warning, he's teaching, he's using wisdom. What's the wisdom that he's talking about? The Bible. He's talking about the Bible. He's talking about Scripture, right? We warn people from Scripture. We teach people from Scripture. And so he's like, we use the Scripture to help people understand who God is and what life is all about. And I don't know if you know this or not, but the Bible is unlike any other document you'll ever come across. It is unique. It is a unique document unlike any other one in the history of the universe. There's not another one like it. 2 Timothy actually helps us understand what this is with good clarity. And in fact, this is a really important passage. Let's read this one out loud together, starting with all Scripture is inspired. Are you ready? Go. All Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. The Bible is awesome. It's incredible. Because the Bible was given to us by God. Right? This is a gift from God in which he has revealed himself with remarkable clarity. You need to know this. The Bible is not like the best ideas of deeply philosophical and spiritual men. That's not what it is. In fact, it was the Holy Spirit who was carrying these writers along, guiding them, leading them to write what they wrote so that we would have accurate, reliable accounts of who God is, what he's accomplished, and what life is really all about. That's what the scriptures really are at their heart. But when you read the Bible with other people, you're helping them to grow spiritually. It's just a part of what we do. In fact, recently, I met with a friend over breakfast, and one of the things that we were doing was we actually spent a lot of our time just reading the Bible. And so, you know, we're like eating eggs and whatever, and we talk about life, and then we'd look at a Bible passage, we'd read that passage, and then we talk about that passage in the context of life and everything that we were just discussing and talking about. And like, what does that mean, and why is that true, and how does that affect our lives today, right? We're just doing it while we're eating breakfast in the restaurant. Nobody cares. You know, it was awesome, and it was great. And so it really is that simple. Like, literally, you can just invite a friend to hang out with the primary purpose of reading the Bible. Did you know you're allowed to do that? You can do that. You don't even need an official small group to pull it off, right? You just like text your buddy, hey, you want to get together and eat wings and talk about the Bible? They're like, no. All right, okay, all right, let's ask someone else, right? And they go, yes, I would love to do that, right? By the way, most people, given an opportunity to read and talk about the Bible, will say yes. Because they like nobody's ever asked them, number one, and they want to understand what's in there, but they've not been brave enough to ask somebody else for help. So you leading the way is a remarkable thing to do. When you read the Bible, you're learning what's true versus what's not true. That's what's going on. That's what 2 Timothy was talking about. And so the Bible, one of the things that the Bible does is it actually corrects things that we think are normal in our culture and in our life that actually are abnormal to God and to the scripture. Did you know that? So like when you're reading the Bible, it will begin to expose mindsets, behaviors, and actions that in our culture, we've accepted them as normal. But the Bible goes, actually, it's not normal. Things like this, chasing wealth, right? That's the primary goal of your life. If you want to be comfortable and happy and peace, you need a lot and a lot of money. That is something that is seen as normal and acceptable in our culture. And the Bible goes, that's not true. Actually, the love of money leads to all kinds of evils, right? In fact, that is a form of idolatry, of putting your hope. Now, it doesn't vilify wealth. It doesn't do that. But it says if that is your primary goal, that is a short shelf life. And so that's something we've accepted as normal in our culture, but the Bible says it's not. Things like this, living with someone who's not your spouse, having sex with someone that you're not married to. Our culture accepts that as normal. That's just what you do, right? You try it before you buy it. Get a taste of the milk before you buy the cow, right? Like that's out there. Don't use that, all right? That's really inappropriate. But that's the only thing. You know what our pastor taught us this weekend? that's the only thing some of you are leaving with today. But we've accepted that as normal. And that's just what you do. But when you read the Bible, you realize, oh, that's actually in opposition to the character of God and how he would have us to live. Things like protecting and nursing grudges and holding bitterness and resentment. We talked about that last week, right? That is normal. But in our culture, but when you look at the scriptures, it's abnormal. And so this is what the Bible does, right? The way that Hebrews talks about it says that the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. I love this last line. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. I actually think that's one of the reasons why there's a lot of people who are afraid to read the scriptures. You're afraid to know what's in there because you know God's going to speak to you. And you know God's going to ask you to make decisions to trust him. And it's easier to be ignorant of what's in there and go, oh, it's impossible to understand the Bible. It's really not. The Bible is one of the most understandable documents in all of human history. And when you read the Bible, God opens your eyes to see beliefs and behaviors that actually create barriers to growth and maturity. So I just want to give you a really simple plan that you can use when it comes to reading the Bible with other people, right? And you can do this with a friend, a small group, your kids, your spouse. It really doesn't matter. This works across the board with just about anybody, and it's really simple. If this is simply what I use when I'm helping other people and we're looking at Scripture, it's this: read it, talk about it, pray about it, and do it. Seriously, it's that simple. If you want to read the Bible with another person, just read it. Read the words on the page. That's it. And then just talk about it. What does it plainly mean, right? What does it say when Jesus says, those who hear my words and believe in them have eternal life? What is that? Let's just talk about that, right? Let's unpack that. Let's discuss it. And then let's pray about it. And pray also means thinking about it, meditating on it. Man, why does God want me to know this? What is so urgent and important that God wants me to understand that truth today? And then you got to do it, right? Like, the Scriptures aren't just for knowing and memorizing and philosophizing about and discussing and arguing and all that kind of stuff. They're actually meant to be done. Did you know that? The Scriptures are actually meant to be done. James chapter 1, verse 22 puts it this way: don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. And so when the Bible tells you that the only way to be saved and forgiven and have new life is through faith in Jesus Christ, you believe that. You trust that. You do that, right? You put your faith in Jesus Christ. Because just because you know Bible verses, just because you have them memorized and you can draw them from memory really quickly, doesn't mean that you actually belong to him, right? That's what this passage is saying. You're fooling yourself, right? And so read it, talk about it, pray about it, and then do it. And so if you want to help other people mature in their faith, read the Bible together. Really that simple, really that straightforward. Okay, here's the third way. Paul says you got to rely on God's power. Rely on God's power. Paul went so far as to say that helping other people grow spiritually is like labor, right? Am I right, women? Right? Paul's like, I know what it's like. You're like, no, you don't. No, you don't. I had a kidney stone once. It's like, okay, half of this room is like, okay, we're out. We're done. This is over. He said it's a labor that I strive in, and actually it requires God's power. It requires God's strength to be able to do this, right? So it's what he's saying is it's not easy. And so some of you might have the misunderstanding that, well, all you do is you meet with somebody over coffee and a Bible and everything's fine. It's like, no. Actually, it's pretty in-depth. It can be pretty challenging. If you look back over Paul's life as he's going around sharing the story of Jesus and he's explaining Scripture and the reading and studying together, look at some of his experiences. He actually kind of compiles it all together in one place. 2 Corinthians, he says this: 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. This is our primary advertisement for being a small group co-leader, right? Like, this is how you can expect. No. Right? Paul's like, man, I am traveling around the world and there's a lot of opposition to Jesus Christ. And these are all the things I faced trying to help people grow spiritually and become more like Jesus through faith in him. He says, I've had opposition, torture, sleepless nights. And look at that last passage. I have had constant concern for my church family. He's like, on top of even all the physical stuff, I think about my church family all the time. I pray for them, and I'm concerned about them. and I want to see God do remarkable things in them. I relate to Paul in that regards. I think about this church often. I think about you guys often. Pray for you. And I want God to do remarkable things in your life, things that I never even imagined that he would use you for. Right? This is what it looks like to become mature in Christ. Now, you and I are probably not going to face most of the challenges that Paul describes here. But you are going to face challenges as you help other people grow and become more like Jesus. They might look like this. You're sitting across the table from a person who confesses sin in their life, and as you hear them share their story, it just breaks your heart. Right? The sin that they've engaged in, the consequences that they're facing and they're going through, maybe the guilt and the shame that they're carrying in their lives. That's tough. That's challenging. Maybe your friend calls you and you're the first to find out that their marriage is falling apart and their spouse is leaving tonight and they don't know what to do. And you go, I'll come over. It's heart-wrenching. It's difficult. You get a phone call from your small group member and they said, yeah, the diagnosis is cancer. And so you just cry together on the phone and turn your countenance to the Lord. Your daughter's text that says she was passed up for her dream job and I don't know what I'm going to do now. Is God even calling me to do this kind of a thing with my life? Those are just examples of things that can happen as you're helping people to grow spiritually. And here's, on top of that, right? I'm just trying to be real. I'm just trying to be transparent with you this morning, okay? On top of that, sometimes you will get that kind of news. You'll encounter these kinds of challenges on days when you're already emotionally exhausted, spiritually drained, and physically spent. And then this comes in. Right on top of that. This is why Paul says, you need God's strength to be able to help people. This can't be on you and what you have to offer, because here's the reality. I'm going to tell you a secret that some of you know already and others may be shocked to find out. In and of myself, I have nothing to offer you. You don't have to say amen that loudly, right? No. Right? No. Listen, it's Christ. It's the scriptures. This is what we offer. This is what we have to put, right? This is Paul. Some people want miracles. Some people want philosophy. We preach Christ crucified. That's what we have. This is what we can point you and hope you, to, you know, bring hope to. Because what's going on here, what Paul is doing is he's reminding you and he's reminding me, we are not the ones who change people's lives. You don't change anyone's life. You don't even change your own life. It's the Holy Spirit who transforms people's lives. It's Jesus, it's faith in Jesus Christ who changes people's lives. Right? This is what Jesus was saying before he left in John chapter 16. He says, listen, talking about the Holy Spirit, he says, he's going to come, convict the world of sin. He's going to show the world what has God's approval, and he's going to convince the world that God judges it. This is the Holy Spirit, one of the Holy Spirit's roles. You can't shame somebody into life change. You can't guilt them into genuine faith. You can't inspire them enough to commit themselves to Jesus. This is a supernatural work of God. And if you're really going to help people become more mature and grow like Jesus Christ, you have to rely on the work of the Spirit. You have to rely on God's strength and power. And so simple things like praying for people. I literally just had a conversation on the phone yesterday with somebody who's like, their heart is broken for someone they know who is just living apart from God. And they're like, I don't know what to do. And so we talked through it a little bit. And it's like, you know, one of the most powerful things you can do right now is to pray. And so we just prayed together on the phone. And like, literally, we are doing more right now than anything else that you and I could do for this person's life is to pray for them. That's relying on the power of God. When you're helping people to mature and to become more like Jesus. The whole intent here, listen, the whole intent this morning is that helping other people to grow in their faith, it's not like That's not something, that's not the pastor's job. It's actually the family's job. Like, God designed it that you would help other people to grow spiritually. God designed it that other people would help you to grow spiritually, trusting and relying on the Holy Spirit through the whole process, right? This is one of God's primary purposes for your life, is helping people to grow spiritually and mature in Christ. Now, here's what's so amazing. I have found this again and again, and those of you who are also helping others grow spiritually, whether you're a small group co-leader or you work in kids or students or maybe you serve in some other kind of capacity, you know that the times you tend to grow the most and God shapes you the most is actually when you're helping people. When you're helping them to take steps of growth, what the Holy Spirit does is puts a mirror up to you, and you go, oh, I'm encouraging you to take this step, and I realize I need to take that step. I need to trust God in this way in my own life, right? And so here's what I'm just asking. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ here this morning, if you're joining us online, I'm just asking, will you commit your life to helping other people grow spiritually? Will you make that one of your life's primary purposes, to help other people become more like Jesus and to grow spiritually? That's what all the apostles did. They spent the entire rest of their lives on earth helping other people grow spiritually and become more like Jesus Christ. And so a couple of small things. Actually, these are on your connection card if you want to take a look. They're also on your online connection card too. But it could be like that next step down at the bottom. Maybe you want to join the Lighthouse Kids team or the Lighthouse Students team. Right? This is a great place for you to use your gifts to help people become more like Jesus, to help them grow spiritually. Right? There is a concept known as the 4 to 14 window. And the 4 to 14 window means this, that between the ages of 4 years old and 14 years old, 70%, over 70% of people make decisions to follow Jesus Christ between the ages of 4 to 14. Okay? If we did a survey, we'd probably find that that's probably pretty close to true in here as well. Now, here's what's crazy. Once you move out of the 4 to 14 window, the percentages, now this is just statistics, statistically, the percentage drops to 9% that a person will ever say yes to Jesus for the rest of their life. 70% likely to between the ages of 4 to 14, 9%. Outside of that window. What do you think might be one of the most clear mission fields that we have in our church family to share the gospel? In that wing, right over there, every Sunday morning. School campuses around our county, kids in your neighborhood, right? And so simply just taking a step, and we'll help you, we'll train you, we'll prepare you, we'll get you in the right places. So if you're even considering going, man, I'd like to even just find out what that might look like, you could circle either kids or students, and the right person will get a hold of you. Another next step you might take is that third one, invite a friend to meet for spiritual growth over the next few weeks. Just a quick text, quick phone call. Hey, I think you were there this Sunday for Lighthouse. What do you think? That's what I did with one of my friends, Cameron. 14 years ago, 15 years ago. I didn't know how to disciple somebody one-on-one. I know how to teach scripture. I knew how to lead a church. I didn't know how to do it one-on-one. I called him up one day and I said, hey, Cameron, do you know how to disciple people? And he goes, no. And I said, me neither. I said, you want to find out? He's like, okay, what are we going to do? And I said, I don't know. Meet me at Panera tomorrow at 2. He goes, okay. So for like the next year, we just started working and figuring stuff out. And I'm so glad we did. And I know for some of you, you're going, well, I can't do this. I'm too new. I'm too new to the faith. You can help. There are people who haven't said yes to Jesus, that you're a few steps ahead of them. And you can help. You can talk about what Jesus has done in your life. You can talk about who Jesus is and what he's done. You can help people who haven't said yes to Jesus yet. Some of you go, well, I don't know enough, right? I need more. Listen, just share what God has taught you and then commit to growing, right? Here's what I know. And somebody asks you a question, you come up on a topic, you go, I have no clue what the Bible says about that. Guess what? New Bible study topic. We're going to go research what the scripture has to say about this. But the other big barrier is this. I don't have the time. I don't have the time to do this. We're not really talking about adding things to your schedule. What does Jesus say? As you are going, make disciples of all nations. So you're going out to breakfast anyways, invite a friend. You're making a trip to somewhere, invite somebody to come along and have conversations. Call them on the phone while you're driving, hands-free, right? But you're just as you're going, right? Listen, as a follower of Jesus Christ, you can help others grow spiritually. And there is nothing like being used in that way. Watching the light bulb go on in somebody's life, right? Seeing somebody find freedom from sin that has been plaguing them for years. You know what never gets old? A front row seat to watching somebody step out of death and step into eternal life forever. It never gets old. I love it every time. Every time I get the privilege of being witness to it. It's incredible. God wants to use your life to help others become more like Jesus. It's just clear. And he's made the way for you to be able to do it too. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes, whether you're here in the room or you're joining online. I'm going to ask you to do the same thing as well. And we're going to ask the question that we ask every weekend. It's a simple question. Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And I want to give you an opportunity to listen to him. Father, I recognize that there are probably people in this room and some who are joining online going, I could never do that. I could never help other people grow spiritually. I couldn't stand up on a stage and teach. Nothing along. But God, I pray that you would let them know that's not what you're asking them to do. You ask some people to do that, but you don't ask everybody to do that. For most of us, it's listening when a friend is sharing and then not giving them our thoughts or our advice, but actually sharing counsel from Scripture. You know, the Bible talks about this. When somebody's sharing things from their lives, we talk about Jesus. We share his story, his ministry with them. And so, God, whatever anxieties and barriers that are out there, I'm just asking you, Holy Spirit, if you would just crush those and just break right through those and make it evident and clear to everybody that we need them. If we're going to help the people in this county, the 50,000 people walking without a relationship with Jesus Christ, it is going to take all of us. There is no building big enough to house us. There's not enough locations to be able to do something like that. It requires us stepping out, trusting your power and your strength and your spirit to lead us as we talk about Jesus and we read the Bible together and we just journey through this life, pointing each other to hope in Jesus Christ again and again. And so whatever fears are there, crush them. Instead, replace them with vision and hope and excitement of what it can look like, lives set free from sin and from self. And that only comes through faith in Jesus. God, I love you. I'm so thankful for this day and what you're doing here in this church family. It is a real blessing and privilege that I get to be a part of this family and witness what you're doing. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.